السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد. Yesterday we were discussing a hadith of the Prophet, a narration in regards to the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as a reminder to those qualities that we mentioned, it was the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would not mention faults, seek mistakes in others, and it was not in his habit to. He would only speak in that which he felt that there was some sort of reward. And on that subject, I also want to remind us of a very important hadith. I don't want to spend too much time on this subject again, but it's just came to my mind. It reminds me of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is very important. Everybody is listening to what I am saying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only spoke when he felt that there was a reward in speaking. And why is this so important? Because there is a narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself says that an individual speaks, says something, thinks nothing of it when he says it. Didn't think it was mean, didn't think he hurt the feelings of so-and-so, didn't think that he left the fold of Islam by his statement. This I often see when I go to universities. When I speak to them, they say things. They don't even realize the things they deny. For example, and I have to explain it, it's just my nature, I can't let it go. For example, they'll say, oh, what are these jinns things? You know, what is jinn? Possessing people. And they just say, this is for the movies. The moment you say these words, you are no longer a Muslim. It's as simple as that. We read a verse 2 days ago. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in some of the book and reject some of it? There is an entire surah in Quran that talks about jinn kind. Allah throughout Quran talks about jinn kind. In Surah Baqarah, in the 29 Jews, and in so many places Allah mentions the word jinn, just jinn. Any time that's mentioned, you have now rejected it by your statement. So, there are many statements like that. So before I go forward, it's important we understand our aqidah, what it makes us to be, what it means to be a Muslim, number one. Number two, the hadith is, a person says something, thinking nothing of it, and it throws him into the depths of Jahannam. And likewise, a person says something, again, thinking nothing of it, and it elevates to the highest levels of Jannah. So it goes both ways. This is why it's very important that we don't speak unless we feel that there is a benefit in it. And to go even further and more technical, don't speak about Quran until you learn it from someone who's learned it. Lest you be amongst those who say something about Quran out of ignorance and you put yourself into the depths of Jahannam too. May Allah protect us. So, as the Prophet ﷺ's habit was, he would only speak about things that were beneficial, and if it was not beneficial, he would refrain from speaking. Going forward, I want to start going into some practices of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning methods he used to adopt in teaching. Before we go into that, one thing I want to mention about the Prophet ﷺ is that when he used to speak to people, or when there was like a little halaqah or a gathering of people, a group of people sitting together, his personality was such that he made sure that every person in the gathering got his full attention, to such a point that none of them felt as if the teacher was giving preference to one or the other. That was his quality. He made everybody feel like as if they were the most honorable, most akram in the gathering. To such a point, one companion, he felt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered him so noble and so righteous and considered him the best. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thinking so much. He says, am I better or is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu better? The Prophet says, like, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he says, okay, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's high. Okay, but am I better or is Umar radiallahu anhu better? Umar radiallahu anhu. And then the chain goes on. And Ali, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu. Meaning he couldn't tell, he was getting treated the same way Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would, as he was getting treated the same way. He couldn't even tell. But when it came to actual virtue, then obviously Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is at the most elevated place a person other than Nabi can be at. It's the most elevated place. No one can go above that as far as a non-prophet is concerned. But this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made people feel. That's the main point here. So, now, talking about certain methods that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to adopt when it came to teaching people. And this is the most powerful and the most beneficial way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adopted. I could spend the entirety of Ramadan and give you examples of just this one subject, one way. And this is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emulated what he wanted to teach them. Meaning he did it first. He practically did it, and then he showed the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in. Now I said I'd make it a point that we try to understand this from a broader understanding, not just teacher to student, but as a parent to child, as an elder to the youngster, as a sibling, older sibling to the younger sibling. So for us practically, it's very straightforward. You want your children to love Allah, worship Allah, come to the masjid of Allah, and read the kitab of Allah, then guess what happens first? What needs to be done first? You need to be coming to the masjid of Allah first. You need to be reading the kitab of Allah first. You need to be getting up for salah first. You need to be the one praying salah first. Kids, children, they do, or they're more likely to listen by watching you than they are when you tell them what to do. They are less likely to listen to you when you tell them. But if you do it practically, they'll do it too. They want to emulate you. They want to follow you. They want to do the same thing you're doing. But if you start telling them, then anyone who's a parent knows how many times that falls on deaf ears. It doesn't work. So the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he would do it himself. So there's one hadith that reminds me that we want to mention is that on one occasion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the Masjid an-Nabawi. And when he came, he had saw that somebody had spit, some spit on the wall. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he had a stick with him at the time. And so what did he do? He took the stick and he wiped out the spit that was on the wall. And then he turned at the companions and he says, which one of you would like that Allah would turn away from you? Severe matter. Everybody understand what he's trying to say? He didn't say it once. He said it again. Which one of you would like that Allah turns away from you? Over what? Spit on the wall? He says it again. Which one of you would like that Allah turns away from you? That's another lesson we're learning from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it's something important, repeat it. Say it three times if you have to. That was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practice. To say things three times. Repeat things, especially important things. So he repeated it three times. And after the third time, every time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu put their head down. They didn't want to say anything. The third time he said it, they said, none of us, Ya Rasulullah. Of course, none of us want Allah to turn away from them. And then he gave some rulings about if you have to spit in salah, which we can take some practical examples from it. He's like, take your cloth, flip it over, fold it, and then spit in there. Now in their era, he said you can spit, but spit on the left side. That's also a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't want to go into this too much detail, it's going to take all night. But to spit on your left side, that's everybody, if you feel the need to spit, not in the masjid, okay? The ruling applies to dirt ground, okay? Not carpet. Okay, we're not talking about carpet. We're not talking about tile. We're talking about dirt. Over there, it's a different story. You spit on the ground, you take the dirt and you wipe it. It goes underneath, okay? I don't want to have spit on the floor here, okay, guys? But make sure. Anyways, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave these rulings about how to spit. Practically for us, maybe we're not in the desert and the sun is not beating us down, so we don't feel the need to spit. but often at times when we have to cough. So a practical, a way of coughing, and almost an emulation of that sunnah, because it comes in the hadith as well, is that, now, for us, if we're wearing a thobe, it's really weird if you pick up your entire thobe and, you know, your pants are exposed and you're just trying to cough. So I'd say, practically, the idea is to take your cloth, to cough in your cloth. Don't go in front of everybody. Go like this. Coughing on your clothing so it does not spread everywhere. The idea here is you don't want to have that spit and stuff that's coming out falling on the carpet, and then, you know, going to the person next to you, and that guy and or that girl is sitting here cursing you behind their back because they're so upset you did it. We need to be mindful. That's the beauty of this deen. We are always mindful of everyone. It's not just about you. It's not ana. It's about being mindful of everyone else. So I know I've gone a little bit longer. Actually, no, I haven't gone a little longer. I have more time. So the Prophet ﷺ gave this practical advice. And then he sent some companion and he said, bring some perfume. And the Prophet ﷺ brought some perfume and he wiped it on the spot where the phlegm and the spit had been put. So, you know, the smell would be masked by the perfume that he put on. But the lesson that we're learning from Rasulullah ﷺ is that he practically did it. He went and wiped it off himself. So to practically do something, that is a more effective way in trying to teach someone, especially our children. I'm telling you, I've seen it oftentimes. Parents come, my kids don't do that, my kids don't do that. And then immediately when I ask them about their own ibadah, what does it have anything to do with it? It has everything to do with it. It is your Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that put love in their heart for you. It is your Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them obedient to you. But they won't be obedient to you if you're not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're not obedient to Allah, then they will not be obedient to you. It is just the general way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things. You show your obedience to Allah, and in turn, Allah will make them obedient to you. That's just how it works. This reminds me of one thing since the subject of spinning in the masjid came up. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. We're reading it today, inshaAllah. O Bani Adam, when you pray salah, now it says the word masjid, masjid means the place where you prostrate. When you pray salah, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ. That in itself is a long subject, meaning don't wear your shorts that go way above your knees and your banyan and your, you know, half-sleeve shirts, and you're praying salah and standing in front of the Lord of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran commands us that when we pray, wear proper attire. So what that proper attire is, the ulama say, listen, when you go to an event, when you go to a function, and you go to an invitation somewhere, do you dress like you're going to the beach? If that's how you dress, then maybe that's your khuzu zinatakum. Subhanallah. I don't know a qawm that does that. I don't know a nation that does that. There is a different attire for when you go to an event and when you go to the beach. Sometimes, mashallah, and some of our brothers, they come into the masjid as if they're playing a basketball game. Listen, I'm not stopping you from playing, but standing in front of your Lord, khuzu zinatakum. That's the command. Maybe we'll do a lecture on it one day. But the second part, وَقُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Especially in the month of Ramadan, this is very, very important. Allah says, eat, no problem. وَاشْرَبُوا, drink, no problem. One condition, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. How many times do we see water bottles on shelves over here? Look, over there on the zakah box, there's water bottles. We'll see water bottles left here. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Don't waste. So if you're going to take a water bottle, take it home with you. Even if you're not drinking it for the rest of the night, you can drink it the next day. It happens every Ramadan, I see people. And subhanAllah, what's the worst I see is that when we give you fruits to eat, if you feel like you don't want to eat it, don't feel compelled to eat that bowl. If you want just a date, get a date. And somebody tells you to come sit down there, but don't touch it. Because often at times I see people, they eat one, two things, they don't like some fried, or they don't like the banana, they throw the whole thing away. I can't tell you how much my heart hurts seeing that. I close my eyes, I don't want to see it. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Why get all this reward and stand in salah? And we know, mashallah, we like to recite a little bit slower here. You get all this ibadah, and then you throw it away with your food that you throw away. It's not worth it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from wasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not deprive us of His favors after giving us so much. Ameen. Jazakullah khair. Wa akhiru da'wana.